Good evening, ladies. Let's open this evening with a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this evening, and Lord, you have a message for all of us, Lord. You have words that you want to say. And so, Father, I pray that I will be that vessel and that these will be your words that I am sharing. And Father, that they will penetrate, that they will just soak up what and hear what you have for them this evening. We do pray that in your very precious name. Amen. All right. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ as God's children, filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the mind of Christ. The issue isn't that we have the mind of Christ. The issue is if we are using it. That would be the issue. All right, I'm going to read to you 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ to be guided by his thoughts and his purposes. And I'm reading out of the Amplified Version. Again, it's 1 Corinthians 2:16. As believers in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we are given this precious gift, this mind of Christ. That is, we can think spiritual thoughts because Christ is alive in us. We no longer have to think the way we once did. We are to begin to think as he did. We are to begin to think as he did. We all know that when we come into that relationship with him, we are a new creation, the old having gone and the new having come. But you know, like I say, life happens. And pretty quick, I think we're not behaving like the new creation. And very often, we are not incorporating the mind of Christ, the precious mind of Christ that we have been given to guide and direct us on this journey. Wow, what a precious gift. What a precious gift he has given us. So when we have the Holy Spirit living and active within us, then this mind of Christ is given to us to direct us in the right way. If we have his mind, we will think positive thoughts. We will think positive thoughts. We will think about how blessed we are and how good God has been to us. Let's talk about Jesus for a moment. Jesus was positive in spite of being lied to, lonely, misunderstood, and a multitude of other very negative things. He was deserted by his disciples when he needed them the most. Yet he remained positive. He was always able to offer up an uplifting or an encouraging word. Just being in his presence would suggest that all fear, negative thoughts, and discouraging hopelessness would evaporate into thin air. People loved to be around him. He exuded a presence that they wanted to be around him. Yes, for the healings. Yes, for the miracles. But he always, always had an encouraging word. Always an encouraging word to share. That is the mind we've been given. That's the mind that we've been given. So when we fall for the temptation to think negative thoughts about something, we should immediately discern that we are not operating in the mind of Christ. We're not. We're operating in our physical, natural, fleshly mind. And wow, the mind wants what the mind wants. And it is very, very self-serving. Very self-serving, actually. God wants us to be lifted up. It is the enemy of our soul that wants us pressed down and depressed. We have so many opportunities to think negative thoughts, but that is not the mind of Christ at work in us. And we do not have to accept those thoughts. They are not our thoughts. So it's time to kick them out. It's time to kick them out. But they are stubborn. And much like those of us that have children, right now in this season of life, we get to watch Kelsey's Loki a good bit of the time. And she is deaf. And so we have to do sign language with her. And that works really well. And this is no. And she knows what that is. She knows what that is. But I'm going to tell you something about dear sweet Loki. And I'm sure that this was true of, you know, your children back in the day, your children now, particularly. If you say something, if I say something that Loki does not want to hear with this sign language, and she does not want to be told that, she will turn like this. She will turn. She does not want to see my hand telling her no. All right. And if she is, lots of times I just get the, that's the kind of minor one. But if she really does not want to hear what I'm saying, I am saying something contrary to that, then she will turn about face and she will face her back into me. Stubborn, obstinate, and does not want to hear no. Does not want to hear no. Well, I'm going to tell you a little secret about that mind of yours. It doesn't want to hear no either. And we could probably all recite our verse, you know, that we are to take those thoughts captive and we know it and we are to bring them. Let me read it. It is 2 Corinthians 10:5. And I particularly like, I'll be reading this out of the Passion Translation because I like it. And it's going to say what I need it to say to you this evening. So we can demolish every deceptive fantasy, that opposes God, and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought, and we insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. We insist that it must bow. Okay, well, like I said, just put Loki in your mind or put your own child there if you have to, do whatever you have to do, but it is making obedience happen whether or not. We have to start capturing these thoughts and make them obey Christ. One of my favorite worship songs that we sing, the line in it is this: fear and depression, you have to bow. You have to bow. And guess what? It does. All lesser things that demand my attention, you have to bow. See, that is making them obedient to Christ. That is those lesser things rolling around in your head, those things, you know, all of those things. They have to bow in obedience to Christ. Do you possess the power to make that happen? Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. But you have to make some choices to make that happen. You have to make some choices to make that happen. That isn't going to, just by osmosis, it's not going to happen. It's not just going to happen, because it's a great verse, but you have to literally, you have some action. You have some things here that you have to do. And it is time to make those thoughts bow. You see, whatever we focus on, meaning we're giving a great deal of attention to it. Our thought process is completely focused on this, fixating. Jenny Allen will say that. She will use the word, you're fixating on something. Well, simply put, that which you focus on is that which you become. All right. Whatever we put our energies or our attention on, those things are going to develop. Those things are going to develop. So where your mind goes, because it all starts with a thought. It all begins with a thought. So where your mind goes, your little feet will follow. Soon you will act on those thoughts, because you're rolling them around in your head, and then it becomes an action, and then it becomes, and there are consequences to those actions. If we focus only on the negative things in our lives, then we become negative people. So everything, including our conversations, become negative. We soon lose our joy, and we can end up living really a pretty miserable life, certainly less than the life that Christ came, died on the cross for. He did that for our freedom. He did that for us to be free of this and operate with his mind here on this very imperfect world of ours. So you could be experiencing some problems in your life, not realizing that you are making them worse by your choosing to roll it around in there too much. We have talked over and over and over again in this study about the spiral. When the spiral starts, it means, you know, thinking about it once is one thing, then twice, then three times, then pretty quick, it's doing a spiral. And it becomes all consuming. It becomes all consuming. So what do you have to do? You have to think about what you're thinking about. You actually have to think about what you're thinking about. It's where I say, mind your mind, or it's where you make Loki mind. It's taking care of business at that place, capturing that thought as a prisoner of war, capturing it and not letting it run amok. That's what we want to be doing. Those negative thoughts are fuel for discouragement, depression, and so many other unpleasant emotions. Our thought life is going to feed them. So, do we have to change what we're thinking about? Oh, yes, indeed we do. We need to choose those thoughts carefully. And we can think about what is wrong with our lives. We can. Or we can think about what is right with them. We can think about what is right with them. What we think about is, what if what you think about is wrong in a relationship, and you think you can't see the good, you can't see it because you only see the negative things. But if you fixate, if you spend too much time thinking on those things, this becomes a problem for who? You. It's not really a problem for the other person. It's a problem for us because we're starting to do that. And though the other person may be causing us to think on these negative things, they may have actually caused it by any number of actions or words or whatever. They may have done that. But you see, it is you that begins rolling it around in there. And now it begins to affect you and everything going on in your space. So we can choose to see the negative, or we can choose to see the good and meditate on that. Choose to see the good and meditate on that. In Philippians 4:8-9, we are certainly instructed. It says, summing it all up, friends, I'm reading from the message in this one. Summing it all up, friends, I would say you will do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things which are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful, not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you have learned and heard and seen and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. He will do that. What an awesome picture of the sorts of things that we are to be thinking on. It will make your life happier. It will make it so much more peaceful, because you'll be shedding the negative. You will be shedding that, and you will have that peace. You will have that peace. Now, we know some things. We've been in this study long enough, and we know some things. So here's the thing. From the time you think a thought to that thought having physiologically, scientifically, indisputably changed your brain, only 10 minutes have lapsed. That's kind of big, actually. So your singular thought has now got those neural circuits moving, okay? And it all happens from one simple thought. One simple thought. So, two ways to look at this information. One way could leave you terrified and distressed. If I think even one negative thought, I could wreck my brain in 10 minutes flat. That's a little terrifying, actually, because you see, we create ruts. We create these neural pathways, and the negative thinking creates this little rut, this little place, and all other things begin falling in there. And so that's a somewhat scary thought. Okay, so before you spin into a negative spiral with that information, okay, because holy cow, that would do it, right? If that were the end game. But listen, that's the one end of it. Yes, that is the power of a negative thought. However, let's talk about what happens, okay? You are literally, by thinking a positive thought, you are only 10 minutes away from a fresh start, from creating a new neural pathway. All right. Kind of exciting, actually. Kind of exciting. I'm never too far gone, but what I cannot change it. Instead of, oh my gosh, it's just, this is me. So often we say this about ourselves. We have negative self-talk a good share of the time we do. And we negative self-talk to us. And we say things which are not good things to be rolling around in there. Okay. Because then our brain will follow that. And your brain will now be looking for more negative things. And whoa, this is not the direction to go. But again, the amazing redemptive side of this and the fantastic, phenomenal way that God made us, we are so fearfully and wonderfully made, that He made a brain, He put a brain in here that can be changed by you changing the trajectory of your thoughts, by you simply changing them. Wow, it can change. All right, here's the thing though. You can't just put one positive thing in there and then go back, you know, jump the track and then go back to the negative thoughts. No, you have to practice it. You have to practice it. You have to fix your minds and meditate on that which is true, that which is noble, that which is reputable, that which is authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst. See, practice, 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 practice. That is what we have to do. We have to do it because those neural pathways are formed over time. They are formed over time. They are. And the more that we practice thinking on the good things, thinking on those things, then our patterns of thinking will develop. Okay. They will develop. They will follow a new pathway. Okay. It's okay to raise your hand. Who needs a new neural pathway that isn't going down the negative set of train tracks? We all need that. We all need that because it's just so easy. This world that we live in, the relationships that we're in, all of those kinds of things. Listen, we've got a lot of negative coming at us at any given moment. We do. So it's real easy to be headed that train down the wrong neural pathway, the wrong set of tracks. But we have the power. Hello, we have the power. Our brains have the neuroplasticity to redirect those negative trains of thoughts. That is powerful. That is powerful. Okay. So there, I'm going to give you four simple steps, just four simple steps to grab hold of, actually, as it were. So we're just going to put this down into four easy steps. Identify. The first one is identify. You cannot change what you do not identify. You can't change what you do not identify. So in other words, what am I saying here? I'm saying, slow down that thinking. I am saying, slow it down. Ask yourself some probing questions. The first one being, does this thinking that I am doing at this moment align with who I am in Christ? Yes, chances are it does not. Okay. All right. And then the second question, does this thinking take me into a negative spiral? Because it might be. Third question, does this thought make me feel useless, defeated? What's the use? What is the use? Does it make you feel insecure? That is, whoops, not that. Excuse me, as I try usually to mute that first. Okay, so it is where we have to identify the thought, identify the thinking that we're having. The second thing that we do is capture. We capture it, okay? We capture it. Read to you 2 Corinthians 10:5 already. I will reread it. It says that we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture like prisoners of war every thought, and we insist that it bow in obedience to Jesus. Okay, so since we are armed with such dynamic weaponry, we stand ready to punish any trace of rebellion as soon and as we choose obedience, rather than letting our thoughts run amok. So we're going to interrupt that negative thought. We're going to seize it. We're not going to let it rest there. It does not belong. This is where you say, I'm not doing it. No, Satan, you're not taking me down that path. I have the mind of Christ, and I'm not going. I choose not to go. Not playing today. Not going to do it. Do that. Practice that, really. Okay. And then it's where you become an expert at this, pulling out your thoughts and stopping to think about what you're thinking about. Stop and think about what you're thinking about. This literally takes some practice. It really does take some practice, but stop them and think, what was I just thinking about? Because you see, here's how it rolls. Here's how it goes with our minds. We run on autopilot. There are some things that you do every single morning that you don't think anything about. You just get up. They're just, if you're a coffee drinker, I am pretty sure you don't have to figure out how to, you know exactly how much coffee that takes. You know what button to push. You know exactly what to do. This is not a conscious thought anymore. Why is that? Because you've done it so much. You've done it over and over and over and over again, right? Okay, it's like that. So we haven't minded our minds. We haven't made them mind. We just go through the day with our 30,000 thoughts, letting them do whatever. Seriously, this has not gone well for us. This is not a good thing. Okay. I just cannot express that enough right now. Not a good thing. 30,000 thoughts in a day. Good share of them are not what they ought to be. Okay. And some are harmless, like whatever, but we're rolling on autopilot. We're just letting our minds think whatever they want to think. It is no wonder we are in the state that we are. You got to start thinking about what you think about and say, that does not belong. That does not belong. All right. The third step in this process is renew. Okay. So you need to reshape it immediately in your mind with the truth from God's word. You need to do it right away. You need to reshape it. You need to find a verse that speaks to that negative thought that you're thinking. Trust me, it's there. You can find them. All right. And you speak the truth of that verse. You give that scripture authority. You make it yours. You put your name there. I do this often. Cindy, you know, you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. This is not the mind of Christ that you are exercising at this moment. So in Jesus' name, what do? I bring it obedient. I bring it obedient. I take it, capture it as a prisoner of war and say, no. Personalize it. Make that scripture yours. Okay. Your mind needs to hear you say it. There's a lot of power in the spoken word. God spoke this world into being with his mouth. Power when it's coming out the mouth. And you're saying a lot of things in the course of a day, okay? But the odd thing is when you're having quiet time with God, or when you're reading your Bible, or when you're doing any of those things, guess how you're doing it? To yourself. You're just, you know, I mean, I'm not typically reading it aloud. You know, I'm not typically, when I'm praying, I'm not typically doing that out loud either, you know? So in essence, what I'm actually doing is harmful, because I'm saying a lot of things in the course of a day, and I'm giving that more power than the things that I want to have the power in my day. So learn to speak out loud. Learn to take that scripture and say it and act on it, but say it. It gives it seriously. It gives it power. Could not, this was a few weeks ago, could not sleep, could not turn off my mind in the night, could not turn it off. And I know this. I know that this is an unhealthy practice. I know it. I know it. So I had a choice to make. I had a choice to make. Lay there in that bed, tossing and turning, saying, I can't do this. I know I'm not supposed to be doing this, God. I know I'm not supposed to be running this around in my head. I could sit there and I could keep doing that, or I could get up and I could do something about it. And that is what I chose. I was awake anyway. I mean, hello. I mean, tossing and turning is not sleeping. What in the heck, right? So got up. Grab my Bible, and I went out into the other room so I not disturb my husband. And I went out into the other room, and I needed Philippians 4:6-7. Do not fret. Do not worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let your petitions and your praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns, and then before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness and peace, everything coming together for the good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Philippians 4:6-7, that is the Message translation. Say it. I just kept saying it. I have it, you know, I just kept saying it, and I just kept saying it, and I just kept saying it. And then guess what? It was done. No more spiral in my head, no more negative stuff rolling around, because you know what was there? That I don't have to be anxious about anything, because God has me. He's bigger than anything I'm facing. He knows what I'm going to face. He promises to be in it with me. I have been given the most amazing God. And all of a sudden, here's what happened. The thing that I was fixating on and worrying about and stressing over, okay, was so big when I walked out into the other room. So big. And now it was so small. And God was so big. I went back to bed. And I tell you, I tossed for longer than I want to admit to you that I did, because there were really only another 2 hours before I had to be up. And that's not even close to the amount of sleep that you should get in a night. So, but I went back to bed and I went to sleep sound and peaceful sleep. Sound and peaceful sleep. So this is what you do. This is how you practice it. You have to reshape it. You have to give that scripture authority. You have to make it yours. You have to make it yours. You really do have to do that. And then the fourth thing that you do is repeat. I've said practice, you have to practice. That's the repeating, okay? So you be faithful to this journey that you're on with God, okay? And you don't give up, because you see, it is going to take time. You have to keep doing this. You have to keep reshaping those thoughts. You have to keep putting in the good, not the ugly, the positive, not the negative. You have to keep doing it. And what you do is you form a new neural pathway when you do that, which means, simply put, as you are now finding the positive and the good and the things you're now doing, that amazing brain that God has given you, it will now start looking for the good, the blessings, the things that are right and true and pure. Whoa, hello. I need my brain renewed and reshaped like that, because I need to walk down that rut, that new neural pathway. That is the one I need to walk down. That needs to become my default. That needs to come just as easy as getting up and brushing your teeth. The things that you do without thinking, those things, the more that you will make your mind mind, and you will reshape those thoughts, capture them, reshape them. The more that you will do that, you will create this place where, hello, it's the place you go instead of it's not the place you go. And all of a sudden, your world looks a little brighter. And you want to know something? Not one thing changed in the world. Not one thing. But you see, that is what Jesus did. It didn't matter the persecution. It didn't matter the misunderstandings. It didn't matter all of those kinds of things. He just kept bringing it. He just kept bringing it. And he just kept bringing it. And that is what you and I have to do. We have to just keep bringing it. We have to, okay? We just have to. Okay, so we're going to practice, really. Okay. We're going to practice this week, because the ultimate and greatest freedom that we have is this. We get to decide what we think about. Nobody chooses that but you. Nobody. Nobody does this to us. Even if they do things to us, we still choose how we process it. That's our choice. Nobody can grab that away. God built that in us, and we choose. We may not get to choose our circumstances. We may not get to choose what happens to us, but we do get to choose how we think about those things. We get to choose that. What are you choosing, ladies? What are you choosing? Okay. What are you allowing your thoughts to dwell on? Because that's shaping things that are not healthy, that are not healthy often. You see, it determines the kind of a person that we become, what we allow our thoughts to dwell on. It determines the kind of a life that you will live, the kind of a life that you will live. It's the difference between hope and despair, meaning stagnation, joy, and feeling empty. The more we pay attention to what our thoughts are dwelling on and what we do with those things, the more we are exercising this mind of Christ. So tonight, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you three Proverbs, and I'm going to let you choose. You get to choose which one of these you will write down. Whatever you got to do, write it down, put it on your phone, stick it in your notes. Whatever is your preferred method. But this, whichever one of these that you choose, this is going to be something that daily you are going to say. You are going to say it. Sometimes you're going to be sitting at your work desk and you're not able to say it, but you can read it. But when you're able, man, say it, say it, say it, say it. But over and over and over again, this is where, this is the reshaping. This is the reshaping. And although you could go find a different verse that might be more pertinent to your particular situation, this 2 weeks, I want you to practice one of these, just one, not two, not three, one of them. And every single day for the next 2 weeks until we come back, I want you putting that in a lot of times in the day, like a lot of times when you find your mind drifting to something you know is not for its good, go there. Okay, so let me list them off for you, okay? The first one is Proverbs 1:5, and it says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. In other words, it's talk less, listen more. That's my, little 2 cents at the end. So it's where you're going to talk less and listen more. For the wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire, seek, get wise counsel, wise counsel. So Proverbs 1:5, that's the first one you can pick from. The second one is Proverbs 14:15. And it is this: the simple believe anything, but the prudent, they give thought to their steps. They give thought to their steps. So what does that mean in my shorthand? It means not making any rash decisions and praying about every choice. That's what it really means. That's what that verse is saying. Don't just take it. Just don't take it at face value. It means no making rash decisions and praying about every choice. Praying about every choice. Okay. The third one is Proverbs 11:12. And it is this: when you act with presumption, convinced that you are right, don't be surprised if you fall flat on your face. That's the Passion Translation, and I really like it. But walk instead in humility. It will help you make wise decisions. Proverbs 11:2. So walking in humility, that's thinking of yourself less often and thinking of others more often. It's not thinking less of yourself, putting yourself down. That's not humility. It means just not putting yourself first. Okay. I actually do like Rick Warren's definition of humility. It's not to think less of yourself by putting yourself down, but it is to think of yourself less often. Do you need to, it's kind of crucifying self. It's, you know, you should not be the first thing you're thinking about. It should not be going quite like that.